Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. I'm Dave Barber, lead pastor at River Valley Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Each week, we spend time looking into God's Word with the purpose of allowing Christ to transform us by the renewal of our minds. We hope that you make hearing and studying God's Word a consistent part of every week.
Dave had already let a number of us know that we were going to be going through Proverbs this summer, and he gave us an option of choosing one that we wanted to speak on. And I wrote him right back and said, well, I'm sure everybody's going to want Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I would love to do that. There are a couple of others I like, but he wrote me right back and said, you were the first one, so you get it. So just a little word about answering emails quickly. Sometimes it works to your favor. So I got this Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, probably one of the most loved, most recognized of the Proverbs. And just as a general note, what I see Proverbs' role in Scripture is it is kind of an exercise yard for biblical meditation. And the way that Proverbs are written and their length really lends itself not only to memorization but to meditation. Now, you may be familiar with the fact that a number of years ago, both Ruth and Billy Graham, in different settings, talked about the fact that in their devotional life, because they had realized that the book of Proverbs has 31 chapters, nicely matching up with the days of the month. The longest months have 31. So they concluded, as others have, that you could read a chapter of Proverbs every day of the month and constantly cycle through Proverbs during the year. And a number of years ago, I thought this was a great idea, so I started doing it. I got a copy of the book of Proverbs. I started reading a chapter every day. And the first discovery I made after a few months of doing this is that Proverbs is almost impossible to read. Because of the way it's written, it's kind of like when you're reading through it, it's kind of like being at a buffet and eating too quickly, one mouth after another, and you can't really digest or even enjoy each one of them. And after actually doing this for a couple of years, I realized, because I was highlighting the ones that meant something to me, instead of actually reading the chapters, I was gravitating to the ones I'd highlighted before and looking at those instead of reading the whole chapter. So I would recommend, if you're going through Proverbs, just make the discipline rather than go from chapter to chapter, but choose one proverb and focus on that each day as you're going through. There are over 900 proverbs in the book of Proverbs, so there are plenty for you to focus on. And when it comes to the idea of biblical meditation, I use that term kind of cautiously in today's world because we are used to having that word meditation used with an idea in mind that's not biblical meditation. We have been kind of infected with a far Eastern view of what meditation is, which is almost directly opposite of what biblical meditation is. So let me do a little comparison here on what biblical meditation is. It is not emptying your mind of everything, but filling it. Not kind of a self-hypnosis, but an intense focus. Not mindless repetition of a mantra to try to kind of self-hypnotize yourself, but thoughtful attention, not mental escape, but worship with the mind, filling the mind with Scripture. And there's nothing quite like the book of Proverbs to help us develop some habits of meditation. The first thing that has to happen when you're intent on meditating is you've got to get the word inside you. You can't meditate on something you don't know. So the idea of biblical meditation and the idea of the Proverbs in the book of Proverbs is it's two lines or four lines in today's case that you can actually get into your mind on your mind's screen and look at one time. So Sandy, if you'll bring up Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, let's just look at this on the screen, and let's read it out loud together, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Now, there are a number of creative ways this two Proverbs have been, or this extended proverb have been translated, but this is a very helpful one, and we're going to focus on this today. Now, if you have already memorized this in King James or a New Living Translation, that's a great one to meditate on. Let's just focus on this one in this form today. So I'm going to be quiet here and let you read this out loud together so you can hear each other's voices as you're reading this. Ready? Go. All right, so very good. Now I'm going to ask Sandy to take the screen down because you know it now, right? We've gone through it several times. So let's say it together from memory right now. Ready? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path. So, a lot of lips moving there. You have done very, very well. So, you basically have it, right? So, now turn to the person next to you and say this proverb to each other. Each take a turn and say it. Ready? Go. Okay, I know some of you were looking at your Bible. Some of you were employing materials that you had in hand. That's okay. It just reminds me of, watching my dad drive when I was really young and figuring out that driving was really a simple thing to do. There's nothing to it. You just get behind a wheel and you go for it. No big problem. And then one day when I was a young teenager, my dad pulled over and said, "All right, it's your turn to drive." And it was totally different sitting behind the wheel as observing from a distance, letting it happen around us. Now, this process of meditation, it's an important component in biblical memorization. It's an important component in biblical meditation. And it's not really going to happen if you don't employ somebody's help, either a spouse or a good friend or a child who you can say, "Look, I'm not going to try to impress you, but I'm working on meditating this, on memorizing this passage. Would you please listen to me? I'll give you a copy of it and listen to it, read it as I'm saying it to you, and correct me if I get it wrong." That's the only way that you will really take the step into having it inside. As long as you're just kind of saying it kind of in your mind, you will realize that it's kind of a blur. And I want you to be able to think about it as specific phrases, all right? Now we're ready for the meditation part, okay? And when it comes to meditating on Proverbs, because of their length, there are a sequence of several things that you can do that will take a certain amount of time and actually move you through meditation. So the first thing is to look at the proverb as a whole, how it's put together, and seeing the structure and flow of it. For instance, if you look at these four lines that make up Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, the first line is do. The second line is don't do. Do, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't do. Don't lean on your own understanding. Do, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. God will do, and He will make your path straight. Now, that's the direction. The focus on these four lines of the whole, the focus is, first line is God. We're trusting the Lord. Second line is you. Don't depend on your own understanding. The third line is God again, acknowledging Him in all you do. Fourth one is you, what God is going to do for you that you will be able to see. This is looking at the pattern and structure of the whole proverb. I'm going to say parable, the whole proverb. Many proverbs have contrasting or comparison lines. Usually there are two lines, and those are important things to note as you're moving into meditating on this verse, because when you pick those things up, they begin to provoke you to think about how these ideas are connected with the rest of Scripture, which is what you want to do. So let's look at these four lines. We've looked at the whole. Let's look at each of the four lines. First line is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust, faith, believe, those terms, we spent most of the year, the last year that we were at High Street, going through the Gospel of John. And Pastor Dave repeatedly talked about the unique role of the verbs and word believe and have faith in the Gospel of John. And those terms, trusting, faithing, believing, are core to our relationship with God. This proverb starts out with that word, trusting in the Lord. It is a sense of delivering ourselves to Him. And we think in our life as Christians that trust takes two primary forms. One is trust in a big sense where I have reached the point in my life at some point along the way where I deliver my life and my eternal destiny into God's hands. My life is no longer my own. I understand that Jesus Christ has bought me with a price, and I've recognized that He did that. That's the big sense of trust. The trust primarily that this proverb is talking about is the day-to-day trust that flows out of that larger trust reality. So I've trusted Christ for my eternal destiny. Am I trusting Him for my day-to-day challenges and decisions? Colossians 2, 5, and 6 says, now, just as you trusted Christ as Savior, trust Him too for each day's problems. See that you grow down into Him and draw up nourishment from Him. There is that sense of trusting Him as Savior and then trusting Him for each day's challenges and problems. The reason why we need to trust is our understanding of who God is and how He looks at us. And we sometimes make the mistake of thinking that God makes commands and directions to us because He needs something from us. Even when we think about worship and praise and how God is impacted by these things, the reality of it is that He needs nothing from us. He doesn't need our praise. He doesn't need our worship. He's not lacking in something. He's not somehow worried that we're not going to deliver something that he needs because he's going to feel bad if we don't. Everything that God asks from us, including trusting him, has to do with our needs, not his. We were designed to trust. When we don't trust, we are violating the way that God designed us. We are existing, or we are trying to live our lives outside of the design that God made for us, which is to be trusting him. What he asks from us is always for our good, always for our benefit, and it's always offered with his help. Right from the beginning, everything that God asks of us, we cannot deliver in a perfect way without his help. If we think that we can trust the Lord with all our heart, especially the all part, and do that seriously, within about 15 minutes, we're going to say, I'm going to need help for this. Because my heart is so out of focus. My heart is so easily attached to other things. If I don't have God's help, I'm not going to be able to do what he's asked me to do. Unfortunately, he's willing to help us with this and will. Do not lean on your own understanding. The leaning and trusting part of this is interesting to me. I probably read 8 or 9 different translations of this proverb, and I was curious in all this creativity in trying to present these lines in different vocabulary. I never found one that says what these first two lines actually say, which is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't trust in your own understanding. Don't go with what you will naturally want to do, but instead, trust God. Be suspicious of your desire, your tendency to rely on your own perceptions rather than what God supplies. The humility of putting our plans before God and having thought about something and kind of come up with an idea and then standing before God and saying, okay, this is what I figured out, Lord, but I want to place it before you and recognize that what I understand is not anywhere compared to what you understand. My perspective, my capacity to take it all in does not compare with yours. And if I'm getting it wrong, I want to go with yours. Please help me. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In, as in every step, at every moment. All our ways is as hard to do as all our heart. There is a desperate need that we have in putting this proverb and other proverbs like it into practice in our lives, because it heightens, when we think about it, heightens our need for God. To really do this, we need his help. What does it mean to acknowledge him? This is where we pick a word up. Not just a phrase, but acknowledging God. What does it mean to acknowledge him? Does it mean walking along, making our decisions and doing our life and saying, well, I realize you're there, God. Don't interfere. I've acknowledged him in a sense, right? I've admitted that he exists, but I haven't actually acknowledged the role that he could have or wants to have in our lives. This is an interesting example to me of what my good friend Larry Ehrlich likes to harp on, which is the difference between our Western way of thinking, which is kind of binary and black and white or yes or no, and the Hebraic mindset. And the Hebrews and the way the Old Testament is written often looked at both and questions, both and issues. It's not one way or the other. Oftentimes it's both, and they're both important. So acknowledging here, in all your ways, acknowledge him. It's acknowledging his presence, that he's there, but also acknowledging his interest. That I'm acknowledging you care about what I'm doing, Lord. You've demonstrated that you care. I can cast all my cares on you because you care for me. So acknowledging him is more than just admitting he exists or even admitting that he's in my life. It's also admitting that he's interested and that where he's interested, I ought to be paying attention to what he's interested in. He will make straight your paths. That word straight is another one of these Hebraic terms that can be both and. Straight can either be direction trajectory. Is God narrowing my road so I'm always headed in one direction? So I'm picturing this making straight my way as a target and making progress to a certain purpose or target? Or is it character righteousness that is God shaping me in a certain way by the things that he does in response to my trusting, not leaning on my understanding and acknowledging him? Well, it's both. Now back to the whole thing again, and in the context of this last line, and he will make straight your paths. It's easy for us to think in terms of line one is A and B and C, and instead of and he will make straight your paths, we make that in our minds, then he will make straight your paths, as if God is standing there going, all right, you got A, but you've missed out on B and C yet, so I can't do D yet. So wait, as soon as you get A, B, and C lined up, I'm doing D. But you can't. I'm not doing D till you do A, B, and C. This is a terribly incorrect and a hurtful way of looking at the dynamic in this proverb. God is already doing D before we even trust him. The very idea of trusting God is based on God already acting in our lives. We would not even consider trusting him if he wasn't already demonstrating that he is trustworthy. The struggle for trustworthiness is within us. It's not God's lack of showing himself trustworthy. It's not God's lack in being faithful. I had a chance a few weeks ago to speak on these verses at Evergreen Manor, where my audience was 40 or so people whose average age was in their 80s. And I was talking about you and I have a unique opportunity at this point in our lives to look back on decades of life. And we have the expanse of time to be able to track the way that God has worked in our lives. Has he made our way straight often, even in ways that we can only see after the fact and looking back? And I had people shaking their heads, these, seasoned citizens, thinking about the way God had been faithful over a lifetime. If you're in your teens or in your 20s, you don't have so much to look back on. But the rest of us have the duty of letting you know, the longer you walk with Christ, the longer you trust him, the longer you don't lean on your own understanding, the longer you acknowledge him in all your ways, the more you'll look back and see, even in surprising ways, that he's made your life straight. He's developed your character, and he's given direction to your life in amazing ways. He was already doing it, and he's continued to do it even more as you have put this proverb into practice. Pastor Dave has used proverbs that he's talked about in his messages as toolbox proverbs. These are the proverbs that are highlighted, and you may have some that are your own, and I commend you for those. This one is definitely a toolbox project or a proverb because it applies to every decision in life. In fact, my final point is that this proverb offers us a decision-making matrix that can significantly affect the way you and I make decisions. And I would guess that in this room right now, every single person has one or more decisions you're facing right now, or you will be facing this week, that you haven't taken through this matrix yet. You can look at the decision. I've got to make a decision about this. And the first question is, well, am I trusting the Lord with all my heart regarding this decision? I mean, is he first? Secondly, so far, have I been kind of putting the facts together, kind of developing a picture, reaching an understanding about the decision, but am I ready to put my understanding before God and say, okay, this is what I figured out, Lord. Is this what you want me to go with? Because I don't want to lean on it. I don't want to depend on my understanding if it isn't what you want me to. So I put my understanding up for God's veto rather than insisting, I've got it figured out, Lord, so don't worry about it. I got this one. That's usually a recipe for disaster. And thirdly, how do I acknowledge God in the midst of all this? If this is a decision regarding another person, is God in the conversation? Is this an opportunity to speak to somebody about God's role in my life in decision making? You and I have to make a decision. And before we do that, would you mind if I just prayed with you about the decision? Because I'm becoming more and more convinced that I really want to hear what God has to say and what God thinks about this decision that we're going to make. Now, I'm convinced that the more we do these things, and to the degree that we do these things, trusting in the Lord with all our heart, leaning not on our own understanding, acknowledging him in all our ways, that the straightness of life, both character development and direction, will become clearer and clearer and clearer, not only to ourselves, but to people around us. Why does your life have such purpose? Well, I've been trusting in the Lord with all my heart, and I'm not leaning on my own understanding, and I'm working at acknowledging him in all my ways. And what I'm discovering is that things happen that honor God in my life when I'm doing that. This is a toolbox proverb that will make a difference in life. Long before my accident, I probably have been known as somebody that was encouraging people to memorize scripture because my line was, you know, at some point you may find yourself where a Bible is not available to you easily. And if you have memorized parts of God's Word, you will be able to recall them and enjoy them along the way. So, you know, from the time that I impacted the ground and was dealing with the medical personnel, and before I was given a fair amount of hallucinogenic substances that kind of distorted my reality. But I'll tell you, I don't know, I have never had ketamine before, but ketamine is a weird thing. And some of you can relate to that more than others, but I actually thought that I was losing my mind. I actually thought that all these shapes and weird lights that were going off in my head, that I wasn't going to come back from this. And I remember how the 23rd Psalm was running through my mind. And as those words were running through, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Makes me to lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters, he restores my soul. As those words were echoing in my mind, I may have been saying them out loud, I don't know, but I knew that I was going to be okay. Even if I left this earth, I was really going to be okay. Now, coming out of that, one of the first things I had to tell people was, it was great to have that and other parts of God's Word, but I had to confess, I didn't have nearly as much uploaded as I would have liked to have had to rely on when I was helpless. I couldn't get a book open. I needed the help of others even to read to me because I couldn't do that. And I commend Bible memorization and meditation specifically for those reasons, because at some point you will need them. And you need them even if you're not desperate, because every day puts us in situations where we can be still and let part of God's Word just kind of run through our minds and speak to us, which is what biblical meditation is all about. So I commend to you these two verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, as a starting point, if you don't have it yet, into really an amazing adventure in what God wants to do using His Word in your life and my life. Let's say these verses together again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths.
Thanks for listening. We believe that everyone needs to be connected to a local body of believers. If you are already a part of another church, that's great. If not, we'd love to see you on Sunday morning. You can connect with River Valley on Facebook or rvcoshkosh.com.